my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, you may be seated. Open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Am I too loud out there? I guess not, amen. Y'all can't hear me because nobody said anything, amen. Jeremiah chapter 29. And when you get there, say amen. Jeremiah chapter 29. I want to start with verse number 4. Verse number 4. And the Bible says in 29 verse 4, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build your houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take your wives, beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And verse 7 says, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried captives, carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof you shall have peace. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we find a letter that Jeremiah wrote to the Jews who were in exile in Babylon. And the reason why they were in exile or in captivity is because of their disobedience to God's word and their rebellion towards him. Amen? And they would stay in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Are y'all still with me? But although they were in exile, you know, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, wanted them to know that he still cared about them, okay? He wanted them to know that he still cared about them, and he wanted them to be at peace while they were in captivity. He wanted them to know he still cared about them, and he wanted them to be at peace. And he told them to, you know, while you're there, go ahead and build houses, go ahead and marry, you know, give your sons and give your daughter, you know, to marriage, have sons, because he did not want them to diminish. He wanted them to continue to increase. Are y'all still with me? Amen. How many of you know life goes on whether you're in bondage or not? Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And then what he did was he gave them some words of encouragement through the prophet Jeremiah. He told them in verse number 8, first of all, he warned them about the false prophets. Okay, he said there's some false prophets and there are some people who work witchcraft. And he told them, don't listen to those people because I did not send those people. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So once again, although they were in captivity, he still wanted them to know he still cared about them. And then he told them in verse number 10, he says, for thus saith the Lord, that after your 70 years is up, after your 70 years is up, okay, I will visit you, and then I will perform good works. In other words, I will perform the promises that I have for you after your 70 years is up. Now, once again, remember, they were in exile because of rebellion, because of disobedience to God's word for 70 years. But God told them, once your 70 years is up, he said, I'm going to come to see you, and I'm going to perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. In other words, you're not there, you're not in bondage on a permanent basis. You're just there for 70 years. Y'all still with me this morning? And then he told them about when they come back. He said in verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. NIV says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you hope for the future. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So God wanted to let them know that although they had messed up, although they were in captivity to the Babylonians because of their sin, because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion, he wanted to let them know that once your 70 years is up, in other words, once you get out of jail, if you will, he said, once you get out of there, I have a plan for you, and my plan will cause you to prosper and will give you hope for the future. Amen? Now, if you can imagine how good that must have made them feel. I mean, here they are, because they didn't listen to what God told them to do previously, here they are in bondage, you know. And I'm going to tell you, the Babylonians, they were some ruthless rascals. Amen? I mean, some of the things they would do, they would have a sharp arrow like a pole, and they would take you with no clothes on and sit you on that pole and put pressure on you and watch you suffer. So they were ruthless. But God told them, that's one of many things they would do. But God told them, amen. But God told them, listen, I know you're in a bad situation because you put yourself there. He said, I put you there because you didn't obey me. In other words, you put yourself there. He said, but there is hope for the future. I'm going to come to visit you after 70 years, and I got a plan for you, and you're going to have prosperity, which is security, you know, and you're going to be successful, and you will always have hope for the future or an expected end. I mean, imagine how they must have felt, you know. And how many of you know that the plan that God had for them, it wasn't a plan that he had just come up with. That was the plan that he had for them from the start, okay? It's not a new plan, but see, the problem was that the reason why they did not get to the plan is because they did not follow the path that led to the plan. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And how many of you know that plan also produced benefits? You know, if you ever, I know many of you can relate to this, but if you have like a health plan, see, there are benefits that comes along with that health plan. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But if you never get the plan, you will not be eligible or you'll never receive the benefits. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So although God had a plan for them, they had never received the benefits of the plan. Why? Because they did not stay on the path that would lead them to the plan. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And when they failed to follow the plan, when they failed to follow the path that led to the plan, they delayed the benefits that they would have received if they had stayed on the path to the plan. Are y'all still with me? Notice I didn't say God delayed their benefits. They delayed their own benefits, the benefits that they would have received from the plan if they had stayed on the path that led to the plan. Are y'all still with me? Amen. If you're looking for a title for today's message, the title is called Delaying the Benefits of God's Plan, and you can put in parentheses, for your life. Delaying the benefits of God's plan for your life. Are you still with me? Amen. Amen. Because once again, they delayed the benefits of the plan because they got off of, they got off course on the path that led to the plan. You know, sometimes you might be walking and you might think you're going in the right direction. And next thing you know, if you all been in the military, you can kind of relate to this. You're walking out there in the woods and you're on this path. And next thing you know, you're way out there somewhere, lost, and because you ended up getting on the wrong path. And when you got on the wrong path, it took you longer to get to where you were supposed to be going. Are y'all still with me? Well, what happened, once again, they delayed the benefits of the plan because they went the wrong way. Well, Pastor, what's the path to the plan? Well, let me tell you what the path to the plan is. The path to the plan, first of all, is that we have to put our trust in God. That's the first step. Because we know that the Bible tells us, many of us know that the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, to do what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into our own what? Understanding. In all our ways acknowledge you, him, and he will do what? Direct our what? Path. He will direct our path. Amen? Trust in him, and he will direct our path. How many of you know they didn't put their trust in him? They started doing what they wanted to do, and they end up going off of the path that led to the plan that produced the benefits. They ended up going off, and so their benefits were delayed. Are y'all still with me? But how many of you also know that although they got off course, although they did not stay on the path, the plan that God had for them never changed. Are y'all still with me this morning? The path that God, or the plan that God had from them never changed. Why? Because God never changes his plans. Are y'all still with me this morning? It never changed. Well, what am I trying to get you to see? What I'm trying to get you to see is this. God has a plan for each and every one of us. If you are living in this world, God has a plan for you. And listen to this. It does not matter how you got here, you're here. And you can be assured that God has a plan for you. And in order for us to receive the benefits of the plan, we must get on the right path that leads to the plan. Are y'all still with me this morning? Good God Almighty, amen, amen, amen. If I do not get on the right path that leads me to the plans that God has for me, I cannot blame God. The only person I can blame is myself. See? Listen to this. God has a plan for us, but listen to this. My path to my plan might be different than your path to your plan. But the bottom line is that as long as we stay on the path, then we're going to be able to receive the benefits, prosperity, hope for the future, and all things that come along with it. See? Because, see, the reason why I say that is because your purpose might not be my purpose. And for you to achieve your purpose that God has for you, or God's purpose for you, you know, you might have to go a different way. But either way we go is still on the path of righteousness. So God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. Amen? But when we get off of the path that lead to the plan, we are delaying the benefits that we would have received if we have stayed on God's plan. Listen to this. Have you ever heard anyone say, man, if I had known then what I know now? Well, the problem was, then they probably didn't put God in the equation. They did their own thing. But now they got wise one day because they asked God for wisdom, and now they're doing things not their way but God's way. And once again, when we do things our way, when we leave the path that God has designed for us, trust in the Lord all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct your path. When we get off the path, then it's going to take us longer to get to the plan, if we get to it at all. Because if we stay off of the path, we will never get to the plan that God has for us. And once again, if we don't get to the plan, we will never receive the benefits that the plan produces. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. And listen to this. Many people, and I'm talking about Christians, have gotten off of the path that leads to the plan that God has for them. And as a result of them getting off of the path, they are wandering a spiritual desert. They're just wandering. Why? Because they get off the path. Are y'all still with me this morning? And when I put this message together yesterday, man, I said, good God Almighty. They are wandering in a spiritual desert because they got off the path. Pastor, what makes people get off of the path, though? I mean, because it's possible. It's highly possible that I might be doing some of these things that causes people to get off of the path that God has placed us on that leads to the plan that he has for us. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Number one, a lot of people get off of the path is because, number one, they do not know God's plan for them, and they don't know what God's purpose is. When I say plan and purpose, you can put those in the same part. They don't know the plan of God for their life, and they don't know what their purpose is. Are y'all still with me? Number two, they live a life of doubt instead of living a life of faith. The Bible says we live by faith, not by sight. I know King James says walk, but that word means live. We walk by faith, not by sight. We live a life of doubt instead of living a life of faith. Number three, we walk around operating in fear. We walk around operating in fear instead of us stepping out to do what God has told us to do. We walk around in fear. Number four, we are either speaking negative words out of our mouths or we'll listen to other people speak less negative words out of their mouth. Either we are doing the speaking or we are doing the listening. Have I lost anybody? I guarantee you, if you pay attention to this message today, your life will never be the same. Number five, we are walking around giving bad and evil reports. We're not looking at the things that are unseen. We are looking at the things that are seen. And as a result of us looking at the things that are seen, there are certain things that we see happening in our life. And instead of us speaking about what God said about those things, we are lifting those things up. Have I lost anybody? What number is that? Number six, we are putting man before God. Y'all stay with me because I'm telling you this message, amen. We are putting man before God. That's number six, right? Number seven, we are taking man's word over God's word. We are taking man's word over God's word. God said this, man said this, well, I believe what the man said. What number is that? Number eight, we are not saying about ourselves what God says about ourselves. We're not saying what God says. We're saying what we think or what other people say about us. Very quickly, number one, we don't know the plan and the purpose for our life. Number two, we operate in doubt instead of in faith. Number three, we operate in fear. Number four, we are speaking negative words out of our mouth, or we are standing around listening to other people speak negative words out of their mouth, and it's affecting our life. Number five, we are walking around giving bad reports. Number six, we are putting man before God. Number seven, we take man's word over God's word. And number eight, we are saying things about ourselves other than what God is saying about us. And Christians, when we do those things, what we have done, we have gotten off of the path that leads to the plan that God has for our life. I'm talking about the plan that produces benefits. In other words, we are delaying our benefits because we have gotten off of the path to the plan. Are y'all still with me this morning? Now, let me just, I want to go through each and every one of those things for the next 40 minutes, because the bottom line is that a lot of people don't know God's plan for their life. They don't know his purpose. And Christians, that's the reason why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:5, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Okay? Because if we put our trust in him and we obey his word and do what he tells us to do, God will keep us on the right path. Are y'all still with me? Look, I like to say it this way, and I wrote it down. I'm going to read it to you. I like to say it this way. Ron chapter 8, verse 92. Look, I like Proverbs 3:5. I'm just paraphrasing. It says, God will lead you down the path toward your plan and your purpose. He will lead you down the path towards your plan and your purpose. And if you trust in God, God will keep you on the right path. But Pastor, how will he keep me on the right path? I mean, how will God do it? Well, how many of you know, I'm glad you asked that question. I want you to go to the 23rd Psalm, the 32nd Psalm, the 32nd Psalm. I'm telling you, a lot of Christians are missing out because they're getting off the path that leads to the plan. And as I said earlier, it doesn't matter how you got here, how long you've been here, wherever you've been, whatever, God has a plan for you, okay? And your plan might be different than mine, but they will both lead to prosperity and hope for the future. The path to your plan that God has for you might be different than the path that God has for me, but we will all end up in the same place, prosperity and hope for the future. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Amen. Once again, you might not know what your plan is, but I want you to, are you at the 32nd Psalm yet? If you don't know what your plan is, don't worry about it yet. Just trust in God. Look at what the Bible says here. King David is talking, you know, in Psalms. He says in verse number 6, he says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. Okay, I'm sorry, let's start with verse 5. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Verse 6 says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come near unto him. I want you to go over to verse number 8. God's response. God's response. Amen. I know we saw this song this morning. My response is, look at God's response. Amen. Verse 8 says, he said, I will instruct thee. Put your name there where it says thee. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way with thou shalt do what? Go. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my what? Eye. You may not know what your plan is, God's plan for your life is. You might not know what your expected end is, but if you allow God to lead you, okay, if you allow him to lead you, because the Bible says, number one, he will teach you, he will instruct you, and he will guide you with his what? When I see that, you know who I think about? I think about the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit came to what? Lead us and do what? Guide us into all truth. Good God Almighty. So all I need to do is just continue to follow the eye that's leading me, if you will. I need to continue to follow the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows the plan that God has for me. The Holy Spirit knows the plan that God has for you. And as long as we stay on the path to follow the Holy Spirit, he will always lead us on the path to the plan that God has for us. And when we receive the plan, we will get all the benefits that the plan produces. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Look at the 33rd Psalm. Look at verse number 18. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, reverence him, okay? Upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. How many know God got his eye on you? And all we need to do is just follow him. So if I don't know my plan, God, I know you have a plan for me, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what my purpose is. Well, guess what? Don't worry about it, because all you need to do is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and don't lean on the fact that you don't understand it, because in all your ways, just acknowledge God, and God will lead you on the path of righteousness that will take you right to the plan that he has for you, so you can receive the benefits that the plan produces. Good God Almighty. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. See, so there, I told you there was eight things. Okay, one of them is people don't know the, amen, let me slow down. See, I got to drink some water because this get ready to get, oh man, amen, amen. You haven't heard nothing yet, amen. Amen. I told you there was eight things that caused people to get off of the path. And I just talked about one of them, right? Well, let us talk about the other seven. Okay, because I told you there was eight things, amen, and the seven things, you know, it may not be all seven. It might just be one of the seven, but they will cause you to delay your benefits or lose them altogether if you don't get back on the right path. If you don't get back on the right path, amen. But before discussing the seven things, I want to talk a little bit about the children of Israel. Because we know that the children of Israel, many of us, I'm not going to say we know because some people may not know, many of us know that the children of Israel was headed toward the land of Canaan. And they wandered in the desert for how many years? 40 years. Amen. And those 40 years was based on the 40 days that they went to spy the land. In other words, for each day that they spied the land, they got a year to wander in the desert. And the reason why that happened to them is because they got off of the path that God had laid for them to get to the plan. The plan that God had for them was to go to Canaan, the land he had already given to them, so they could eat some honey and drink some milk. Y'all still with me? In other words, the land flowing with milk and honey, that was the benefit of the plan. Good God Almighty. That was the benefit. And all they had to do was just stay on the path that led to the plan. But they ended up wandering for 40 years because they got off of the plan. Are y'all still with me? Now, I want to show you something. Go to Numbers chapter 13. All they had to do was just stay on the path. In Numbers chapter 13. God already gave Canaan to them. Can't find Numbers. Amen. Maybe somebody took it out of my Bible. Amen. Here we go. Are you in Numbers chapter 13? Look at verse number 1. The Bible says the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send their spies that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of who? Israel. Well, we know God promised the land of Canaan to them way back during Abraham's time, okay? He said, I've given the land, so Moses, send the spies to spy the land. I want you to go to verse number 25. And the Bible says in verse 25, and they returned from searching the land after how many days? 40 days. Are you all there? They returned after 40 days. So, first of all, that tells me this. That tells me that Canaan, listen, wherever they were, Canaan must have been pretty close by. Because they spied the land for how many days? 40 days. So that means that they must have took a trip to the land to be able to see it So they got there in 40 days. So it must have been pretty close to where they left from. Well, the question is, if they got there to spy the land in 40 days, why did Israel have to wander in the desert for 40 years? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, 40 days, these guys are spying the land. They see the giants. They see the elves. They see all, they spy the land. 40 days. It took them 40 days to get there. But why in the world would they wander in the desert for 40 years? Well, let me tell you why. Because of their mouths. They got off of the path that leads them to the what? Plan. And it took them 40 years to reap the benefits of the plan. And some of them didn't even get a chance to get there. They missed out on the benefits. Are y'all still with me? Now, I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Give y'all a little history class this morning. Amen. But how many of you know when we study the Bible, we should study from two points of view, historical and theological. So a lot of people try to be theologically smart, but they don't know nothing about the history. And that's why a lot of people don't know what they're talking about when they study the word, because they don't study the history. Okay, you need to know the history and see how it ties into the theology in order to see the big picture of what the word of God is all about. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. So when you go to Deuteronomy, in chapter 1, Moses is given a little class, if you will, on the journey of Israel. And he said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 2. Hold on one second. Let me find Deuteronomy. I don't know if this, amen, here it is. Okay. He's talking about the journey. Are you at Deuteronomy yet, chapter 1? And look at what he said in verse number 2. This is very significant. He said, there are 11 days' journey from Mount Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. Do you all see that? How many days? 11 days. Notice he didn't say 40 years. He said what? 11 days. And then I want you to look, God told them they need to, in verse 6, he told them they need to leave Horeb, because they've been there too long. That's some Christians, they've been in the same place too long. Amen, amen, amen. That's another lesson. And then the Bible says in verse number 8, he says, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham and Jacob. In other words, Moses is talking to them about Canaan. And he's talking to them about the fact that they sent spies to the land. Okay, y'all still with me? And then he said in verse number 19, the Bible says in verse 19, and when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, as the Lord our God commanded us, as the Lord our God commanded us. In other words, God has a plan for you, and God is trying to get you on the right path to get to the plan, but some people keep turning away from the plan. Why? Because they're getting off the wrong path. In other words, they're on the wrong course of life, if you will. Look what he said in verse 21. He says, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. In other words, he's still talking about the spies. Still talking about the spies. Still talking about the spies. Now, I want to show you something here, because Moses continued to talk to them about possessing the land. And the spies went up for how many days? 40 days, okay? How many? Let me hear. Maybe I just can't hear good in this ear this morning. How many?
40.
And how many years did they wander in the desert?
40.
Why did it take so long? Can you please pull a map up for me? Amen. So what you have in front of you, this is a map of the route that the children of Israel took to get to Canaan. Amen. Okay, we know they started here, okay, somewhere, amen, right here, Egypt, okay. This is Mount Sinai or Horeb. Remember Moses said that they took a route to Horeb. Do I need to go back and read that? Okay, this is where they started at, and they went to a place called what? Kadesh what? Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is right here. So you can see on the map the distance between Horeb and Kadesh Barnea. Do you all see that? Okay, Okay, you see the distance there. How many days did it take for him to get the whole way up to Cadesbarnea? 11 days. 11 days. Not 11 years, but 11 days, okay? Well, guess what? Cadesbarnea is right here. Listen, Canaan is right there. Do y'all see that? Cadesbarnea is right here. It took them 11 days to get from here to here. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. If it took them 11 days to get from here all the way up to here, it seemed like it would have been a shorter time to get from here to here. So instead of taking Israel 40 years to get to Canaan, it should have took them days. Are y'all still with me? Now listen to this. This is the route that they took to Cadesbarnea. They left here. They went here. They hit Cadesbarnea. Canaan's right there. But look at what happened. Instead of going through the wilderness like they were going, they ended up going all the way back around here for 40 years, all the way back up here, you know, through Ai, Jericho, and all these places. What am I trying to get you to see? What I'm trying to get you to see is that the reason why it took so long is because they got off of the path that led to the plan that produced the benefits that they could have received. They delayed receiving the benefits. Are y'all still with me? God didn't do it. They did it. And the reason why they did it is because of the seven things that I'm getting ready to share with you again that causes people to get off of the path that God has placed us on that lead to the plan. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go back to, let me refresh your memory. Number one, I told you the reason why people get off of the path, okay, what causes them to get off the path is, number one, you know, they don't know the plan. Number two, they doubt, right? Number three, they live in fear. Number four, negative words come out of their mouth. Number five, they give a bad report. Number six, they put man before God. Number seven, they take man's word over God's word. And number eight, they don't say about themselves what God says. They say what somebody else says about them. Are y'all still with me? Yeah, I'm getting ready to prove it to you. Go back to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. Are y'all still with me? As Christians, it takes us too long to receive the benefits that Jesus Christ already paid for with his blood on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And the reason why it takes us so long is because we make a decision to get off of the path that God has placed us on and make our own path. And then we wonder why things don't come the way they should. We wonder why some people are being blessed and it seems like we're not. We wonder why some people have certain things where the Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. They got theirs. I don't understand why I don't have mine. Well, maybe they stayed on the right path. And maybe we didn't. That's a reason for everything. But I'm here to tell you that when we get off of God's path for our life, it will take us longer to get to the plan that produces the benefits. And if we do not get back on the path, we will never be able to reap the benefits. Are you at Numbers 13? So here we are. They sent the spies to spy the land for 40 days. And here we go. When they got back in verse 27, the Bible said they told him and said, "We came into the land which thou sendest us, and it surely floweth with milk and honey." Do y'all see that? And this is the fruit of it. And then what's the first word in 28? Nevertheless. Nevertheless. In other words, that is the initial sign of doubt. That is the initial sign of doubt. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus was walking with the disciples, and Jesus cursed a fig tree. And when the disciples saw that there were no figs on the tree, they're like, wow, man, the fig's gone, wow, 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 you know. And Jesus told them, if you have faith and doubt not, you can not only do what's done to the fig tree, he said, but if you speak to that mountain will obey you. Are y'all still with me? Big difference between faith and doubt. But nevertheless, they started to doubt. Okay? Y'all still with me? Let's look at the rest of this. Verse 28 says, nevertheless, the people be strong to dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Anak. The Amorites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. How many of you know, by saying all of those things, they just told us that they were living in fear. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, and of what? Love, and of what? Sound mind. And fear is one of those things that get people off of the path that leads to the plan that God has for their life that will produce benefits. They operated in fear. Are y'all still with me? Let's read on. Caleb, verse 30, stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. See, Caleb had some sense. Caleb knew what God said. God said, the land belongs to you. Christians, I'm here to tell you, your plan is your plan. Yeah, you might have to go through some rough hills to get to it. Yeah, you might have to walk in the rain sometime to get to it. Yeah, you might have to go through a couple of bolts of lightning to get through it. But if God says it's yours, guess what? It is yours. The rain can't stop it. The thunder can't stop it. And nobody else can stop it. Why? Because the plan that God has for you is your plan. Are y'all still with me? I told you earlier, although the children of Israel were in exile to the Babylonians, God's plan never changed. His plan never changed. But they operated in fear. Are y'all still with me? So listen to Caleb. Because you all know Caleb got a chance to go to the land. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, but the men that were up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are what? Stronger than us. How many of you know what he just did is spoke some negative words out of his mouth? And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18 that what? Death and life is in the power of the what? Tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You speak life, you have life. You speak death, you have death. And I mean, when you speak death out of your mouth, you are speaking negative words, and that's what they did. They spoke negative words. Listen, either they spoke the word or they listened to someone else speak the word, and it affected them. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Let's read on. The Bible says also in verse number 32, and they brought up a what kind of report? What kind of report? How many of you know God like good reports? I want you to keep your finger there. I want you to go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. They brought an evil report. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Are y'all still with me this morning? They brought an evil report. An evil report. God is all about good reports. Are you there yet? Keep your fingers in Numbers. We're going back there. The Bible's talking about the office of a bishop. Look at verse 1, chapter 3. We're not going to stay here long. We're going to move on. It says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, He desires a good work. Look at verse number 7. It says, moreover, he must have a what? What kind of report? He must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. In other words, God is all about good reports, but what kind of report did they bring in Numbers? Evil or bad report. Are y'all still with me? Let's read on. And then the Bible says here, it says, and they brought, verse 32, they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, the land, though, which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are what? Men of great what? Stature. What are they doing? They are putting man before God. God is great, but they say the men are greater. No. No. They're taking man's word over God's word. Oh, I mean, they're putting man before God. Are y'all still with me? Keep your finger right there. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Keep your finger right there. We're coming back. Men of great stature? They put men before God. Are you there in Ephesians yet? Look at what Ephesians chapter 6 says. Let's start with verse 5. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto God, or Christ. Verse 6 says, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to who? Man, do y'all see that? I mean, they're doing exactly what God's telling us not to do. What's wrong with those people? Let's read on. And then he said, and there we saw what? Giants. The son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. They were what? Grasshoppers. I mean, how could they talk about themselves like that? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that we are more than what? Conquerors. We're more than conquerors. In other words, they're not saying about themselves what God says about them. They're saying what they think about themselves. Why? Because of doubt, because of fear, and all the other things that got them in trouble. Are y'all still with me this morning? And then look at what the Bible says in chapter 14, verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why did they do that? Well, I'll tell you why they did that. The reason why they did that is because they listened to the negative reports. And they took man's word over God's word. Are y'all still with me? They took man's word over God's word. I want you to keep your finger right there. I want you to go over to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, we're coming back. Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. Are y'all still with me this morning? Romans chapter 3. Look at verse number 4. Well, we'll start with verse number 1. It says, what advantage then has the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Paul is talking to, you know, the Christians in Rome, because, you know, Jews thought salvation was just for them. And Paul is saying it's not just for them, it's also for the Gentiles. Okay, just to give you a quick, history, you know, where we are. And then he says, verse 4 says, God forbid. He said, yeah, let God be what? True, but every man a what? Liar. As it's written. He said, let God be true, but every man a liar. But what these people did, they took man's word over God's word. And when they operated in those seven things that causes people to get off course of the path that God put us on, that leads to the plan that produces the benefits, they delayed the benefits of their plan, and instead of going to right there in days, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And there are a lot of Christians today who are wandering spiritually in the wilderness or desert, some for 40 years, some maybe 50, some for 50. They've been wandering spiritually. And the reason for that is because somewhere along the line, there was something going on in the world. When the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice and be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't live like the world. They saw something in the world that got their attention. And that attention getter, if you will, distracted them from the path that leads to the plan. And instead of, let me go this way, instead of staying on the path, that worldly thing caused them to veer to the left. Notice I didn't say right, to the left. And as a result, what they could have now, based on the plan that God have for their life, they're still trying to figure it out what the plan is. Why? Because they end up getting off course. I told you all this story before. Some of you all. I remember many, many years ago when I was in the Army. Many, many years ago. And I remember we was at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, back in 1982, 83 time frame. And we went out to Fort A.P. Hill in Virginia, out in the woods to play Cowboys and Indians or something. You know, Army, amen, amen, amen. And I remember me and a couple other guys were on the path going this way, and we were shooting blanks, you know, guns and stuff. And next thing you know, I don't know what happened to them, but I was standing there right by myself. In other words, I had got off the path. And all of a sudden, it starts to thunder and lightning. And you know, when you're in the woods with all these trees, it's dark anyway, it started getting darker. So here I am. I said, what must I do? I started climbing this tree. I climbed up in this tree so I could see where I was going. If I had stayed on the right path, I wouldn't have had to do that. But I climbed this tree to see where I was going. How many of you know when I got high in the tree, all I saw was higher trees. Are y'all still with me? I said, Lord, help me. Now all of a sudden, I want to call on the Lord. But then I saw this track where this vehicle had been driving through the wooded area. And I started following that track. And eventually, I ended up on the road. And these guys passed by in a truck. They stopped. They said, man, where are you going? I said, well, I'm supposed to be, we stationed over there. He said, man, you're about 3-4 miles from where y'all supposed to be. He said, man, get in this car. You know, we'll take you. I said, thank you, Jesus. And as soon as I got in that car, it started pouring down, raining and thundering and lightning. And it took me a while, you know, because of the traffic, it took a while to get to where I was supposed to be. What I'm trying to get you to see, if I had stayed on the path, I could have got to my destination a lot earlier. But I veered from the path. It took longer. And that's what happened to a lot of Christians. They're not receiving the blessings that God has already promised them. They're not receiving the inheritance that Jesus has already left for us because we have gotten off of the path that leads to the plan to receive the benefits. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Well, the question is, Pastor, if I'm off the path, what do I need to do to get back on? Do I need to wait 70 years like the Israel did when they were in exile to Babylon? No, you don't. Do I need to keep on wandering in the desert for 40 more years? No, you do not. And the reason why you do not have to do that is because of Jesus. Because of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus paid the price for us when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says that we are not our own because we were bought with a price. And then the Bible tells us to glorify God in our bodies and in our what? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go there. Amen, amen, amen. I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm almost done. Y'all got to see it. You got to see it. We don't have to wander anymore. We don't have to wait 70 years. We don't have to wait 40 years. We don't have to wander anymore because of what Jesus did. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When you get there, say amen. I'm almost done. I have about 4 minutes to go. Amen. Are you there yet? Paul says what? He's asking a letter that the Corinthians wrote him. He said, know you not, verse 19, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? He said, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your what? Body and in your what? Spirit, which are whose? God's. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. In other words, we need to glorify God with our total self, and we can do that because the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in us, and the Holy Spirit lives in us by way of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us to be able to get back on the right path that leads to the plan that produces the benefits. Are you all still with me? We don't have to wait for the Babylonians 70 years. We don't have to wait for 40 years. I want you to go back to Jeremiah chapter 29, because I'm going to show you how to get back on the path. I just showed you why you can get back on the path. Now I'm going to show you how you can get back on the path. Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'm closing. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, amen. Some of us have been wandering for too long. Jeremiah 29, when you get there, say amen. Just to bring you up to date, once again, they were in exile to the Babylonians because of rebellion, because of disobedience to God's word. God said, when your 70 years is over, I'm going to visit you. I'm going to come see you. I'm going to visit you. He said, and I will perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. He says in verse 11, for I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of prosperity and not of evil, to give you hope for the future. King James says, for I know the thoughts that I think of towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12 is what I want you to concentrate on. God says, when I come to visit you after the 70 years, look at verse 12. What's the first name? What's the first word? He says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you. He said, when I come after the 70 years, then. Christians, I'm here to tell you that because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago, you can subtract that word then right there, because that don't apply to us. We don't have to wait 70 years. We can get back on the right path right now because of Jesus. And all we have to do is this. Look at 12. Number one, we need to call on the Lord. God, I messed up. I was on the path. I got distracted from the world. God, I messed up. Lord, I pray, God, that you will help me to get back on the path. Number one, he says, we can call upon him, and we should go and pray unto him. And God, the Bible says, he will hear us. And he said, and you shall seek me and find me. And when you shall search for me with all your what? Heart. Can't be half-stepping. Can't have one foot in and one foot out. When you will search for me for all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, verse 14, and I will turn away your captivity. In other words, I will put you back on that path that leads to the plan that produces the benefits. Amen? I'm here to tell you. Stand to your feet. Some of us have been wandering too long. Physically, spiritually, and mentally. And the reason why we've been wandering is because somehow, along the way, we have allowed ourselves. Notice I didn't say anything about Satan, did it? We have allowed ourselves to get off of the path of righteousness that leads to the plan. The Bible tells us in the Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, you know, one of the lines said, he leadeth me in the path of what? Righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is still with me. I'm paraphrasing, leading me on the path. The Bible says God would never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to leave us in Babylon and wait 70 years to come to us. No, he's always with us. And maybe you're here. And you're not receiving what you should be receiving from God. First of all, you have to avoid those seven things that I told you about. Now, the first one, as far as you don't know what your plan is, just continue to follow God, your purpose, you'll find out. Just let God teach you and instruct you, as the Bible said. But the seven things, Christians, you cannot afford to let those things cause you to get off of the path. You cannot let doubt control you. You cannot let fear overtake you. You have to stop speaking those negative words about yourself and others out of your mouth. You can't go by how things look and speak evil reports. You got to say what God says about the situation. Minister Denise told us on Wednesday night, you don't look at the things that are seen. You look at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Well, how do you look at those things? Through your eyes of faith. Are y'all still with me? You can't take man's word over God's word. God created man. Man did not create God. The Bible says God knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. That's why we have to trust in him. You can't put man before God. It doesn't matter what their rank is or how much money they have in their pocket. It won't work. And you need to start saying about yourself what God says about yourself. And when you follow those guidelines, you will be right back on the path to whatever plan God has for you. Your plan might be different from mine. Your purpose might be different from mine. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's your plan, you follow the path that God has given to us, This is the path right here. You will receive the benefits of the plan without delay. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise because he's worthy.